Our Old Testament reading this evening comes to us from the book of Psalms, Psalm 51, which is a psalm that is attributed to King David after he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. As you are able, please rise in body or in spirit for the reading of the gospel. The gospel reading this evening comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
This may come as a bit of a surprise to you because I know that I appear to be a young, fit, strapping person of excellent health. And I am. But a few years ago, I had to have a minor heart surgical procedure. It was to correct an electrical thing that I'd had since birth. And I know what you're thinking. Minor heart surgery is an oxymoron. It's a contradiction, like jumbo shrimp or honest attorney. And I also thought it was an oxymoron. I said, like, what do you mean minor heart surgery? And they reassured me this way. They said, don't worry, it's non-invasive. And I was like, you mean like a stethoscope then? Like, that's what a non, if it's not a stethoscope, it's invasive. Their plan to correct my minor electrical problem was to run a little catheter up my leg to my heart and then do what they had to do and then back out of there. And I pointed out it was a really long way from my leg to my heart, and there were things in the way between there that were important to me. I told them it's not a straight shot, and I think it's a jungle in there, and non-invasive, my eye. They further reassured me by saying I didn't have a real heart problem because what I had would not shorten my life. And they said, well, if we don't treat it, it's not going to kill you. And then I said, well, why are we doing this then? Why are we having this surgery? And they said, because it's your heart. When something is wrong with your heart, you need to fix it. If it's your heart, you got to pay attention. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus talks tonight about a lot of things. Prayer, fasting, giving to the poor are priorities. But the best way to put it into one sentence is really the last line. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus seems to be speaking tonight about our heart. And if there is something wrong with your heart, not much else is going to be working in your body for very long. Jesus seems to be saying that a lot of us have heart trouble. They've done studies, of course, to document this. Americans particularly have all kinds of cholesterol problems, and we don't exercise the way we should, and we eat a lot of stuff we shouldn't eat. Everybody I know, it seems like, is on an antidepressant and a beta blocker, so can I get a beta blocker witness in here? And just like we've had a rise in literal heart disease, I feel that we also are part of a rise in spiritual heart disease too. When I read the passage from Matthew about when you pray, don't do it on the street corners so as to be seen by people, I want to tell Jesus, our heart problems are worse than you think. Do we really have so many people clamoring to pray publicly that we need to worry about why they're doing it? I think our problem is we haven't been taught how to pray. We haven't been given permission to pray. If I could get prayer on the street corners instead of drugs or prostitution or violence, I'll take prayer. Never mind why they're doing it. Have you seen my street corner? I want to say, Jesus. I mean, it could use a little prayer. And fasting. Do we really have so many people fasting that we need to worry about them announcing it to others? I mean, our culture is not too into fasting. The Burger King menu should tell you that's true. They sell something called a Baconzilla. I got an amen about the Baconzilla. Mm-hmm. And while I fast as a spiritual discipline, if I could define my own idea of fasting, it would be this. I would fast from the fries that fall out of the box and into the bag. The straggler fries God could have. We don't fast. We're into consumption and giving. Don't let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. Trust and believe. The finance committee doesn't care. Are there so many people falling over each other to give to the poor and to tithe to the church that our big problem is showing off about it? Check with grassroots. I bet they would take your donation no matter which hand you held the pen in. I want to tell Jesus, our heart problem is more advanced than he thinks. Then he helpfully tells us this: don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. And that's hard to do because earth is where the rent is due. Earth has to come first, right? Because that's how I pay the mortgage. Treasures in heaven? Like, that's for later. Maybe when I'm in the nursing home, you know, and I got a lot of time on my hands, I can contemplate my heavenly treasures. But as for now, I've got bills to pay. Heavenly treasures are what we do with leftover time, you know? If I have extra, maybe God can have that. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And it seems that we have a lot of plaque in our spiritual arteries. Maybe there's someone out there who has never fallen short of the glory of God. And so you can't relate to either of these readings. Maybe your heart is doing just fine. Maybe you don't have a problem tonight with an unclean heart like King David, or a broken heart. Maybe you don't have David's particular problem. Psalm 51 was written begging God to create in David a clean heart after his affair with Bathsheba. And don't forget how he had Bathsheba's husband killed. I mean, maybe that's not your particular heart disease. But how about that story about the no good son who squanders his daddy's money in a far-off country? Where is our heart in that story? Are we with the younger son running into his father's forgiveness? Are we the seething older brother who did everything right and got no fatted calf for himself? If we could EKG our heart tonight, how are we doing with loving God and neighbor? And if you can check that box, how are we doing with loving the enemy? Because we're supposed to do that too. And loving the enemy is a tough task. How are we doing with loving the people that we live with? Children, spouses, parents, siblings. How is our heart doing with gossip and slander? What about pride? We have a pride blockage in a major artery anywhere. How about anger? How about seeing a need and looking the other way? The longer I live, the more I come to see that we tend to carry our faults and failures around with us and we hide them because we think we're the only ones that have them. Because we look at people's social media feeds and y'all are looking like life is good. There are a large number of people, though, who have broken the commandments, the big ones and the little ones. There's a lot of broken relationships out there. So many times that we forget to show mercy and love kindness and walk humbly. It's why we needed a Savior. It is our human condition. And I'm certainly no exception. I think on my best day, I'm pretty smart. I certainly want to work hard. I'm well educated. I have more degrees than I have walls to hang them on. And I know that I have heart trouble. I can't get it right on my own. That's a mighty hard thing for an American to admit to. But I think that maybe we are all of us broken. And I think that's why we need Jesus. It's hard to admit. But that's why we need a Savior. Even Paul says, I do the thing I don't want to do, and I can't do the thing that I should do. Wretched man that I am. And that's why we need Jesus. So what are we to do about this situation with our heart trouble? Every year we have this wonderful countercultural time called Lent. And we do things that are the opposite of what the culture often calls us to do. We pray. We study scripture. We fast. We give sacrificially to the poor. During Lent, we get to go see the cardiologist. And God, who is in the heart business, can create in us a new heart, can mend our broken heart, and can ensure that it's in the hands of the only one who knows what to do with it. The only one who will not break it, the only one who can fix what's wrong with it, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we bow our heads and we go to God in prayer, we acknowledge all the parts of who we are during Lent. All these things that God already knows, all the things we tried to hide, and we give over all the parts of us that are broken, that need fixing. We acknowledge that we are not God. We need God so much, and we acknowledge how we've strayed from the way God would have us be and live. We remind ourselves that all we have comes to us as God's gift, and that God was with us from before our beginnings and will be with us always, even to the end of the age. God, the mighty physician, doesn't care too much about outward appearances. Good news is God doesn't want empty praise or fine words. God wants you. God wants your heart. And the bad news is God doesn't want empty praise or fine words. Darn, that's easy. God wants you, your heart, all of you. The things we do during Lent, prayer, fasting, study of scripture, giving of alms, they are ways for God to get to our heart. They unclog our spiritual arteries. Think of it as Plavix for the soul. They keep our eyes on God. Now, it takes faith and courage to get vulnerable like that, to make time for the disciplines of Lent, to let the divine surgeon open us up and empty out all the accumulated baggage and all the stuff that keeps us from God. But if we'll spend some time with the heart doctor this Lent, if we have the courage to let God heal our heart and realign our priorities with His, when Easter comes, we might have more than just a new dress or a new tie. We will have a new life. Brothers and sisters, come put on your ashes. Heart trouble? Good news! There's a doctor in the house.